Should they start?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot. I'm Vissarion. I'm a contributor and maintainer of Boost Geometry, and today I will present the library. So the talk goes roughly this way. I will give a brief introduction of what is Boost Geometry, then quickly go through the design. Then I'll give some examples of how to use this this library and end up with some spatial computations. Okay, first and foremost, the Boost Geometry is an open source library. It's part of Boost C++ libraries. It's header only. It has a stable interface. It supports C++ 14 conditionally. Supports also newer standards, but this is the main support, the main C++ version that we support. It builds on static polymorphism, metaprogramming, and tag dispatching to give some genericity of the types. I will explain this in the design of the library. And basically, it has three parts, like primitives, the geometries, algorithms, and the spatial index. Okay, and also it's standard conformant. It follows the OGC simple feature standard by OGC. There is some documentation on the Boost website. We have a mailing list. There's also the mailing list of the Boost libraries that you can discuss topics of the library and general topics of Boost libraries. It's hosted on GitHub, and there's a list of main contributors. These are, let's say, the core contributors, but there are several others. We also participated in some Google Summer of Code some years ago. So this is the basic Hello World example of Boost Geometry. So you can include the headers. It's header only. This just compiles. And then there's a model of the point. This is a two-dimensional point, and there are three parts. So this is the number type that you can use. This is the dimension. It's two-dimensional point. And then the third part is the coordinate system. So it can be Cartesian if you are using a projection, or it can be a spherical or a geographic. I will explain this a bit later. And then if, let's say, that you want to compute the distance, this is one of the most simplest examples that you can do. You create a point that it's longitude, latitude, let's say Athens, and then you compute the distance from another point, which is the coordinates of Brussels. And this gives you this number. You can compare it with what Google Maps gives you. It's a bit different, and this has to do with the internal computations that they will show up in the presentation, why this is different. Okay, so what primitives Boost Geometry supports? It supports the basic primitives of the standards, like we have points, multipoints, line strings, polygons, and their multi-versions, so multi-polygons, and you can have also a geometry collection. So these are pretty basic. And then there's a list of algorithms that are implemented that ranges from area and lengths of geometries to set operations, and also some functions that help navigation, like line interpolate and distance of similarity. This is part of the documentation, so you can browse it and see all the available algorithms. And there's a number of applications, so it can be used to, it mainly designed for GIS, but it's more general, so it can be used in robotics and CAD. Also MySQL is using it for as a geometry engine. So Okay, let me discuss a bit about the design of the library. So there are three layers in the design. There is an algorithms layer where there is the API this under this namespace. There is also the dispatch layer where all the tag dispatching is done. This is to, let's say, for the user perspective, this is a way to provide the genericity. And there's also the implementation layer, where all the in this namespace, where are all the implementation details are hidden. Okay, so mainly the algorithms in Boost Geometry, there are three functions, like the distance I showed you in the first slide. So there is area, buffer, and all these algorithms takes one input, which is or two inputs, which are geometries. And there is also an optional parameter, which is the strategy. So the strategy tells you how to treat the geometries. For example, if you have a distance of two geometries, then the library will see what is the coordinate system of the geometries, and it will implement the right algorithm for them. If the geometries are on the plane, the distance algorithm will just implement the Pythagorean theorem. If the points have a coordinate system that is, let's say, on the ellipsoid, then more advanced algorithms will run. And this, the algorithms understand it, so the user can just pass the geometries. But if you want, the user optionally can pass a different strategy. If you want to choose a different algorithm, for example, for the ellipsoid. Because on the ellipsoid, there are many algorithms that you can use. I think it will become clear in the next slides. So this is the input of our algorithms, and the algorithms are independent of the geometry representation. So you don't have different distance algorithms for different points on the sphere or points on the plane. You have one distance algorithm for all the geometry types. So it works across Cartesian, spherical, and geographic coordinate systems. And okay, this is the internal implementation detail, that this is implemented or resolved by dispatching in C++. Okay, so strategies, as I explained a bit before, they encapsulate the mathematical models and the formulas. So let's say that the algorithm is the combinatorial part, and the strategies is the, let's say, mathematical part. Like, you can compute a convex hull on the plane, but then if you want to decide if a point is on one side or the other side of a line, then this is the strategy. This is the mathematical part. That it's treated by the strategy. For example, we have implemented the Vincenti, Andoyer, Thomas. These are different formulas for geographic distance, so the distance on the ellipsoid. So the strategies, as I explained, can be explicitly used by the user, like calling it together with the algorithm, or they can be defaulted. So the user can, if they want, they cannot use any strategy. And internally, the library will select the right strategy for their problem, according to the coordinate systems that they use. Okay, and also strategies can give you some accuracy and performance trade-off. For example, you can use, for a complicated problem like a distance on the ellipsoid, you can use different strategy that implements an algorithm, for example, that it's not very accurate but very fast. But then a user that needs more accuracy, they can use a strategy in the same distance algorithm that have more, maybe takes more time, but it's more accurate. Okay, so a bit about tag dispatching. There are tags for geometry, strategies, and coordinate systems. The data tag, the tag types are available through meta functions, and we're dispatching according to geometry type, coordinate system, which is Cartesian, geographic, etc., dimension, because there are algorithms that work in three dimensions, and according to strategy. And this provides a type safe and a static polymorphism that it's so all of them are dispassing on compile time. So you don't have an overhead in performance. Okay, hopefully this gives a bit more intuition. So let's say that you have a basic algorithm distance. This will take two geometries and compute the distance. So this is the dispatching part. So if you give 2 points, then the right implementation will, in compile time, will go here and go to the implementation of computing the distance between 2 points. Then there is another choice. If it will go and see if the points are Cartesian on the plane or geographic. And then it will choose the right implementation. And then again, it will, on compile time, it will choose what is the right dimension. So if you have the simple case of computing the distance between 2 points on the plane, you will go this way. And the library will select the right implementation for your problem. Okay, so now let's go one step further and see how we can use it. Okay, so this is typical with C++ template libraries. You have a set of aliasing. So these are the main primitives. So you define points that are, as we said before, this is a point that it's in two dimensions. It uses double and it's Cartesian. Then you will use this type to define a line string, a polygon, and then the polygon you will use it to define a multi-polygon. So this is the main way that you define your primitives, your geometries, and then you can construct them. And then you can import data. So there is this function of reading the well-known text. This is a standard way of importing data in GIS. So this will read a line string, a polygon, a multi-polygon, and ask from distance to compute the distance between those geometries. Okay, here. There is no strategy. As a user, I'm not using any strategy. So the library internally will use the right strategy for the right coordinate system and the right dimension. So the user just call distance with two attributes. Okay, so this is a graphical view of this. So this is the line string, and we said what's the distance from this multi-polygon and this polygon. And this is the result. Okay, so because it's general, the design can be used to define your own types. So you can create your own point. You must follow some concept, which let's say the point concept. This is defined by some traits. There is some for usability. There are some macros that can define. Can generate your point according to your struct. So these are some my simple point with two doubles can be registered as a point that usable for Boost geometry, and then I can create one point and one line string by using a vector and just call the distance again, and this will again work. So this an overview of all the algorithms. Let's say that there are three main categories. We have measure algorithms like computing distance, length, and these are the similarity functions like Frege and Hausdorff distance. There are some geometric that compute the convex hull of a set, envelopes, bounding boxes, the buffer, and simplify. And there is another big part, which is the relational set operations. That computes a relational operation between, let's say, if a polygon crosses another polygon, things like that. So everything is in the reference manual of the library. Okay, I will just give one more example of measure functions. So you can create a line string like this, by pushing points on this type. And then I will just call these functions to compute the length, the area, and the perimeter. This is the graphical, and I can have my results here. So everything up to here is Cartesian. Okay, so the same we can do with topology. Again, we define our geometries, and we can compute, intersect, and within. So this example of a polygon and line string that intersect, but they are not within. So you can do many examples like this. And this is the last example before the spatial computations. It's about the index. So there is an R-tree implemented. It has three different split heuristics. Again, it can use some user-defined value and can do spatial and KNN queries. So the R-tree, very, very broadly, it's spatial data structure that's like a B-tree for geometric data. It looks like this. I will not dip into the details. Again, these are my types. I have to create a box and a value, and then I create my R-tree with a value and to do the indexing. So I will create some geometries and insert them to the, I compute the bounding box and insert them to my R-tree. And then I create a query, which is another geometry, and I'm running this query on the R-tree. And then I iterate over the results of my query, and it's like this. So these triangles, the orthogonal triangles, are the data of my R query. And then this is my query. The R-tree will not return those triangles that are far away. It will return those that the bounding box are intersect, and then I can iterate and check which of them are really intersect my query. So that's why in the previous loop I will get intersection of two triangles, and then one of them is really intersecting. So it's like filtering geometries that are far away. Okay, and this is the last part. It's more, I'm trying to give some applications. So first, the idea of coordinate systems that I probably discussed a bit before. You can have three different coordinate systems, and these are implemented in Boost geometry. You can have a flat surface, you can have a sphere, or you can have the ellipsoid of revolution. This is the most accurate, but takes more time to compute model, and these are how we represent them in Boost geometry. It's like this is the Cartesian, the spherical equatorial, and the geographic that are parameterized by either degrees or radians. So I can use them now to my distance example to see what's the difference. So again, I will compute the distance between Athens and Brussels, but now I will get my specific strategy, and this will change a bit the result. So if my strategy is spherical, I will get this number, which is like Google Maps, because in Google Maps they compute on the sphere. But then if I use a different strategy, like a geographic and Doyer, I will get this result, or this result, or this result. So the differences are slight, but if you have an application that it's more accurate, demands more accuracy, you have to use Vincenti, and there are some, if you have long distances, let's say your application have very long distances, then the less accurate functions, the less accurate strategies will not work, will give larger errors. But okay, this is not, I will not discuss it more in this talk. I will just want to focus on the part that you can use different strategies to have different accuracies. Okay, so then this is one thing that we can do with Boost geometry. this is transformation between coordinate systems. So let's say that you have points on the Earth's surface given by a GPS, and you want to map them on a, you want to map to visualize them on a map. Since they are long in latitude, you cannot do it. Great. So you have to project. Let's say that we are in British National Grid and we have a map, and then using boost geometry we can project these GPS points on the on our grid. So there's a functions transformations that takes you from this coordinate system to that coordinate system. So this is the GPS and this is the our map. You just define this and you you call it with your points. So this is in this example I will use London in GPS coordinates, longitude latitude, and I just call it like this, and I compute the point on the on my map. So in the implementation here, it uses actually re-implements a big part of Proj 4, and my projected coordinates finally are those. So then I can draw, for example, I'm using QGIS to draw this. I can draw GPS points using boost geometry on a on this map. Okay, so this is the transformation function. Okay, and this is my last example, how to analyze trajectories using boost geometry. So this is more or less this Frezet and Hausdorff similarity functions. Let's say that you have a GPS track, and you want to, you have many tracks in GPS, and you want to see how close are those tracks, how similar are they. So using boost geometry, you can do it without projecting, because all the algorithms are implemented for all the coordinate systems. So you can have a similarity distance function that takes points that are longitude latitude. In the previous application, we had to project because we wanted to draw a map. But now, since we only want similarity of trajectories, you can do it also with geographic coordinates. And this is nice because you don't have to project. You can also use, as a pre-process here, simplify algorithm for the R3. I will skip it for the example. And this is the code. You can have a, you have line strings with your GPS data, and this is the function that you need. You compute the Frezet distance between your trajectory. Let's say this is your trajectory that you want to find similar trajectories, your query trajectory, the black one. And these are the input trajectories of some walkers on a park. And using Frezet distance, you could compute some values that gives you the similarity of those trajectories with your query trajectory. For example, here, let's say that the blue and the orange are more similar than the green one, let's say, or the red one. It gives you some similarity between those objects. Okay, and that's it more or less. Some future topics. There is some 3D support, polyhedral surface. This is in the last two releases. There is the definition of polyhedral surface and some validation algorithms. This is, let's say, limited support for now. There is also some interest to support curved geometries, and there is a standard interest of improving robustness to have, because in geometry, floating points can be very nasty, but this is a totally different topic. And we'd like to integrate newer standards in the boost geometry, and I think that's it. So thanks.
Any questions?
I can just yell.
limitations?
Repeat the question.
No. No, it's a... okay. Are there any platform limitations? So this is in Boost C++ libraries. These are tested. There are some regression tests on the page of Boost. They are tested in many platforms, many different architectures and different compilers. And it builds on... You can see the test. It builds in... You have different results in some... you have some cases, some floating point issues, but it builds on...
Possibly.
No. Okay. Are there any underlying libraries that are needed for Boost geometry? So there are some dependencies, internal dependencies in Boost C++ libraries. So Boost geometry is using some Boost libraries, but it's very typical in many applications to just take the whole Boost and build your application. But you can just take Boost geometry and the dependencies and build it.
The transformations that you mentioned between the different geo-coordinate systems, you also mentioned this Proj 4. Is this code entirely in Boost as well, or do you have still
yes.
a dependency on Proj 4?
There is no dependency in Proj 4. It's re-implemented, undeputed in inside Boost geometry.
Can you discuss error messages and build times?
Error messages?
Yeah, compiler error messages. If I mess up, I don't know, a type or something, do you use C++ concepts to get decent error messages or?
Yes, Boost geometry is using a concept. They're not using the C++ 20 concepts. There are some concepts, let's say, homebrew. There is some error messages in compile time because most of the part is templates. It's possible to also see a huge error with a lot of templates that you not understand, but we try to give some intuition about what's the error about.
And what about build times?
So it's a header-only library, so it depends on the application. So there are. If you see the regression test, there are some times there in a Boost website. Otherwise, since it's not an application, I cannot say about the build times. I mean, you can okay. It's header only, and there are some unit tests. So, what do you mean about build times? I mean, can you clarify a bit?
Yeah, no, just sometimes with template-heavy libraries, when you include a single header, then the build time of a single translation unit explodes, and I just wanted to know if that's the case, or if even in your small example is like instantaneously, is instantaneous. Or
yes, those examples are very simple. You will not notice a huge big time build time, but let's say if you build MySQL, you will see a big part will be compiling Boost geometry.
Yeah. Hello. Back to 2018, I compared Boost geometry, Sigel, and geometry tools libraries, and I found that Boost geometry has a very nice interface and most convenient of all these libraries. Yeah, that's my personal opinion, but still. Nevertheless, I had to choose another library because I found a lot of, let's say, buggy behavior and Boost geometry. And after 8 years, how was it evolved? Is it better now? And did you fix a lot of bugs recently?
Yes. So the question is about bugs in Boost geometry and how they evolve and fixed and. Okay, so I would say the most, yes, so bugs are issued in GitHub issues. There is a relatively, let's say, good tracking and there, okay, we try to solve most of them. I would say the most difficult ones are regarding robustness. So in geometry, if you I mentioned it before in the talk, in geometry, if you want to, you may have floating point issues that become errors that are combinatorial errors. Like you compute a total different structure if you have a floating point. So this is fixed in 3 or 4 releases ago, partially fixed in predicates. So the set operations now, if you're asking something that is yes or no, this is much more robust now because we integrated the robust filtering predicates, which is always correct, and we throw away some old tricks with floating points. So this is fixed. Something that it's missing that is more difficult, let's say, needs more work, is the robustness of intersections. So if you want to construct something, then you have to be robust also. So this needs more work. So Sigal, solving it by have some kernels that takes more time, but if you select the right kernel, you can have a robust intersection. So in geometry right now, some bugs are related to this. Many of them are only floating point issues that we fix them, but maybe there are some of them are more deep. But there are also a lot of bugs that are simpler and we just fix them.
Hey, thank you very much. My question is about the strategies, as I'm not very familiar with those. What is the difference between them?
Excuse me, about the?
The different strategies.
Ah, the strategies. Okay, so the strategies, it's, let's say that they select a coordinate-specific method for your algorithm. Let's say if you want to compute the distance between two points just on this table, it's a Pythagorean theorem. It's just one line. If you want to compute it on a sphere, then it's that's some sine cosine functions, right? It's trigonometric, again, one line. If you want to compute on the ellipsoid, then you have to do some Newton method. It's a larger function. It's 20 lines of code. So you have, and also it's an iterative method. So depending on the coordinate system that you are, you have also different methods underlying. So if you are, let's say, on an ellipsoid and you compute a convex hull, or let's say the Fresnel distance, how close are two trajectories. If you do it on the ellipsoid, then at every step, the Fresnel algorithm, which is combinatorial, at every step, they try to compute the distance between two points on the ellipsoid. So it calls a Newton method. The same algorithm on the plane, it will just go the Pythagorean, okay. 10 operations.
And is it related to different users? Like, for example, you talked earlier about autonomous driving.
It depends on the application. So if your application is working on a projection, so you have points on some projection there which are Cartesian, then you just use the Cartesian algorithms. If your application is on the sphere and you don't want to do some projection, for example, if you want to compute the distances on Europe, then as far as I know, you cannot project on every single part of Europe and then do Cartesian there. So you have to do something with a spherical or ellipsoid. So it has to do with the application.
Last part of the question. Are you aware of some real-time applications that use Boost Geometry library?
About what applications?
Real-time applications, like, for example, autonomous driving apps applications.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Thank you.
That's it. I think we're out of time for questions. Sorry to anyone else had a question. Next talk in 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Is the next speaker here?